Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office.
But we're not virtual.
No,
we're real.
We're real.
100% flesh and blood.
Do you feel real right now? I feel
real.
I'm looking at my hand and it looks real.
That's right. That's right. I do feel real.
All right. We're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Right. Standing desks.
Ooh.
Do they really make you healthier? There's some new research that kind of calls that into question. We'll talk about that. And food. Certain foods may disrupt your body's fight against cancer cells. I think this is really, really interesting. And I think it goes along with some of the ultra-processed foods, the microplastics and everything else that's in our environment that may be an issue with our health.
Okay. And our recipe is not ultra-processed.
No, it's not. No. It's marinated winter squash with sage.
Ooh.
And frankly, you can have winter squash summer, fall, winter, or spring.
Okay.
With sage. Great, easy recipe that is tasty.
Sounds great. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to a caller now in St. Augustine, Florida. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, sure.
My question's about my knee pain. Sporadically, I have knee pain in my right knee. I think I've experienced it since maybe my high school days.
Wow.
I played maybe soccer for like a year or so. And ever since, when it gets cold outside or I feel like when I like gain a few extra pounds maybe being 10 or more, I feel like if I'm walking for a long period of time, I have a pain in my knee.
Wow.
Not really sure why. Got it checked out. There's nothing there. So was wondering what's your take on that? Is it inflammation or is it like, you know, maybe arthritis or something? Not really sure.
There is something there because you have pain. So the answer is, the question is, what's there? I mean, you may not find anything initially on imaging. So let me see. You said since high school, how old are you now?
I am early 40s.
Early 40s. Okay. And the pain over time sort of is on and off. What exercise tends to bring it on most? Or is there anything that specifically does that?
I feel like when I'm walking for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So let's say I go to like an outdoor mall or something and I'm, you know, walking consistently, you know, even though I'm shopping and it's kind of a leisure walk, or I might be walking outside maybe and I do like a mile or more.
Sure.
It tends to flare up.
Where is it? Do you have any feeling about where around the knee it actually is?
I feel like it's the top of my knee. Maybe the knee cap right around to like the left of the knee.
So right around that and to the left. As you said, you did some exercise, you know, some sports in high school, but no specific injury, right?
Correct. That I can recall. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah. Who remembers high school? unless you just got out of high school, it has become a blur at some particular time. So you've had imaging, you've had an x-ray, anything else when they did imaging?
That was it. And, you know, I think that they were like, oh, you know, we'll monitor it. But again, it's not all the time. I know that when I first got the imaging done, I weighed a lot less, but I was still having and experiencing it. I feel like over the years, I now weigh a lot more. And it seems as I increase in my weight, maybe activity, you know, kind of declines a little bit, it comes back and then I lose weight and then sometimes it's not there. And, you know, I'm wondering, is it, you know, due to weight or...
It's probably a combination of things that are going on here. Weight is certainly some issue. What you're doing and what you're not doing is another issue. But I've got a couple thoughts. So first of all, x-ray tells us, is there something in the bone? Doesn't tell us anything else. MRI tells us if there's something else going on. So you haven't had full imaging. Full imaging is getting an MRI of the knee and looking at the knee and seeing what's going on. Now, I don't recommend you do that right away. I would recommend you do that if my second suggestion fails. What you really need is try to do some regular exercise with that knee. And let me explain why. Very important study. A number of years ago, they took people 50 years of age and older, older than you were, who had no arthritis or minimal arthritis, had MRI scans, had meniscus problems. Half of them did physical therapy. Half of them went to an orthopedic surgeon to trim the meniscus. When they looked at them 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and 2 years later, the people who did the physical therapy, 80% of them never needed any surgical thing done to their knee because they did regular physical therapy on the knee. There's something about doing some physical therapy on the knee. It makes a huge difference. We don't know why. We don't know if it's the stretching of the ligaments or moving of the ligaments or whether or not you're just adding more nutrition to the knee, but something's going on. So I've got a suggestion here. First of all, go to YouTube, go to Bob and Brad. Write down Bob and Brad knee exercises meniscus injury, okay? Put that in there, and they'll give you a bunch of exercises. I like them. They're Wisconsin boys. They do a good job of explaining it. They really do. And I want you to spend literally 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening doing these exercises. And you've got to do it literally for 6 to 12 weeks every day.
Okay.
So we're talking about 95% compliance because you've got to do it. That's what really helps. During the first 2 weeks of that, I want you to go and get over-the-counter Aleve generic. That's naproxen. And I want you to take 440 milligrams. That's two tablets. They're all the same by the FDA. Two tablets twice a day for 2 weeks because that'll get rid of any inflammation that may be in your knee. Okay? But my thought is that 8 to 12 weeks, 12 weeks much better than 8, of regular knee exercises, and you might cure this thing. Because that's what they saw with people with known meniscus injuries. Now, if all of that fails, then you might want to get an MRI and see if something else is going on.
Okay, sounds good.
But I think your weight is a minor issue. I think it's probably the lack of exercise, strengthening the knee, moving it around, that probably is the greater issue. I think the weight may play a role, but I think it's a secondary role to really a lack of doing the exercises to increase the nutrition and fix the ligaments that are in your knee and making it better.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks again. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's get to our first healthy living topic. Now, for years, I've been hearing you say on the show, sitting is the new smoking.
That's right.
And people, it's been a trend for a while now, standing desks. People work will have a desk that elevates.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's new research maybe that they're not so helpful.
Cause that into question.
Or?
And sitting really is the new smoking.
Okay.
And, some of the standing desks, I don't know if you've noticed, also have treadmills.
Oh, sure.
So while you're typing, talk about this. This is America, the United States of America, modern society. I'm typing, so I'm moving my legs on a treadmill while I'm typing.
It's like the Jetsons. Didn't they do that on the Jetsons? Remember that cartoon?
Are you kidding? Come on. I grew up with the Jetsons. You may have grown up with the Jetsons, but come on. I grew up with the Jetsons.
Yeah, that was your time. Yeah.
We're talking about in the 50s, in the 50s and early 60s.
Yeah.
Black and white, man.
Yeah, was it black and white?
Yeah, of course.
Was it?
Wait a minute. We had a black and white TV.
Oh, okay. So everything was black
and white. No. But it wasn't color. I don't think it was color. It was black and white.
Can't remember.
But wait, let's get back to the Jetsons. I don't remember if they...
Standing desks.
But anyway, this is very interesting because sitting is the new standing, but we don't really have data at all on the standing desk. But now we've got some data. So first of all, the data comes from the UK, United Kingdom Biobank. So they've got one insurance company. It's called the government. Mm-hmm. They have a way of keeping track who lives, who dies, and they've got very good ways of keeping track who has heart attacks and who doesn't. And we think that standing is going to help your cardiovascular system, make you feel better and everything because you're getting up there. And the question is whether or not people who are standing more actually have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. That's the question. Now, in the UK Biobank, they also periodically take a certain number of people and give them, it's just like watches. It's like your Apple Watch. They see how much movement people have made. They're called activity monitors. Mm-hmm. So they've looked at patterns between people who are standing, people who are sitting, and questionnaires. So generally they found that people who sit for 10 hours a day when they're working are much more likely to have serious heart attacks and strokes. So we know that. However, standing at a desk didn't seem to reduce it much.
Really?
Did not seem to reduce it. Standing for 2 hours a day did not increase, it did not decrease, rather, the risk for having serious heart problems. And actually, for some people, increased varicose veins and other issues that were going on with their legs. Hmm. And so it may not just be standing that's the issue. It may be standing and moving.
Okay.
In other words, here it is. You're standing at your desk and you feel like that's better because you're standing, but that may not be it. It's that we are sort of, you know, from an evolutionary point of view, movement is what really makes a big difference. So maybe standing doesn't really help very much. Hmm. And so you kind of have to rethink that. Now, for some people, they like a standing desk. They feel like they're better. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. But it still means you got to get up and move around. Right. So when you're at your home office, what do you do?
I'm sitting. I don't have a. I had one when I was in the office, mm-hmm. but now I work from home mostly, and I just have a chair.
So how long do you think you sit before you get up and move around?
I try. You know, being on the show, I've heard you say a lot. Yeah. You got to get up half hour or something.
But it's hard to do,
around.
Isn't it?
It's really hard.
It's hard to do because like all of a sudden you're into your work, and you go, I don't feel like getting up. Changes my concentration. Mm-hmm. What am I doing here? But it may be that's part of the issue. It may be that once an hour, you got to have a number that you do, and you set an alarm on your watch or whatever, and you get up and you kind of move around for a few minutes. Because mm-hmm. that may be the issue. It may not be that standing helps. It may be moving counts, and sitting is bad and moving is good. And standing may not do as much as we thought.
800-462-7413. That's 800. 462-7413. Let's go to a voicemail now. This is a caller from Door County, Wisconsin.
Hello. I have a question about the SAD, SAD light that you mentioned. I had read that it's not good to use it at night. Specifically, you're supposed to use it in the early mm-hmm. morning hours. Could you give me some clarification on that or just further information about that?
Thank you. So first of all, it's the seasonal affective disorder light. So
the SAD light.
Yeah, but it does. Makes mm-hmm. it. And very interesting, I've used it on and off for years. I used to make my own. Well, I didn't make my own. I have a neighbor who's really handy. And before we had LED lights, we had put together, they were 4 fluorescent lights in a box. Mm-hmm. It cost about $80 to put together with a box. That was years ago, so it would cost more today. And that was the amount of energy, light energy you needed, which is 10,000 lumens. Mm-hmm. The actual lights that you could purchase were $350 to $500, and they were bright wattage lights that gave heat.
Okay.
Actually, too much heat. They were really very bright. You could hardly even look at them. They were very expensive and really very difficult. Now you can buy it for $29.95
sure.
on your favorite website.
Okay.
And we know what your favorite website is.
Is it ZorbaPastor.com?
That's right. Come on, I make it on Zorba's SAD Light. Yeah, .com. That's right. That's
biz.
Right. It's my other. But anyway, so these lights are good. Now, you can use them, you know, morning, afternoon, or evening. But if you find you don't sleep as well using it in the evening, then you got to move it to the morning. Mm. And that's the issue. But it really helps. I find I get the winter blues. Mm-hmm. Just kind of get the winter blues. I don't get depressed, but I get the winter blues. And they change for me on one day. I notice a difference.
Is it the day after? Is it New Year's?
It's not New Year's. No. It's around January 6th.
Oh,
it's right around that time. And that's because if you look at the light that goes down, you know how right, you know, in the middle of December, like in the 22nd, all of a sudden you realize it's going to be dark and then mm-hmm. gets dark. There's no, you know, there's no time when the light is kind of there like you
there's
have
no
in the summer.
There's no transition.
There's no transition. But on around January 6th, the transition occurs.
Okay.
And you can see that. No, New Year's is about the time you get more light in the evening. I don't know if you know, Carl. You may have not noticed it. But you do gain 3 minutes a day on the 23rd of December.
Okay.
But you gain it. You still continue to lose at night, and you gain in the morning.
Okay.
And that changes around New Year's.
I never paid attention to that.
Yeah. You actually gain more in the morning. You continue to lose more at night. And New Year's is about the time when it's the darkest in the evening and the quickest.
Okay.
And around the 6th of January, I notice the difference. So for me, then I stop using the light.
Okay.
I know that's more than you wanted to know.
No, I appreciate that.
TMI, thank you. Thank you. It's very nice. Thank you for appreciating it. It's pretty good. Anyway, use the SAD light anytime you want to, mm-hmm. but if it keeps you from sleeping, use it in the morning.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, before we take a break, it's time to scroll through the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. This is another edition of Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback. By the way, where do those sounds come from?
They're mouth-popping.
Mouth-popping
kind of,
sounds?
Yeah.
Where do they come
kinda
from?
Like,
did they come from the web or something? Or did you?
I made them.
You made them? You mean like with your mouth?
Yeah.
No, you do? Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't like it.
Do you like them?
Yeah. What do you think? Hey, Brad, what do you think about those sounds?
It sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds
it's kind
great.
Of like the Seinfeld
didn't sound,
theme
that enthusiastic when he said it sounds great. I mean, it was sort of like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
Mediocre
it
wasn't, mouth yeah, that's pops. Right.
I mean, that's Brad. You know, he is the king of mouth pops.
Oh, yeah. He's,
so that's it. That's it.
There's the king of pop, and then there's the king of mouth pops, and that's Brad Kohlberg, our engineer.
That's right.
All right, Zorba.
Moving on.
Zorba, you recently took a trip to Tibet. You just got back recently.
Yeah.
And
Northern India. Tibetan population, northern India.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yep. And so you posted all kinds of photos all over the Facebook page, a lot of beautiful stuff. And one series of photos that struck a nerve with our listeners, and you included this message about your late wife, Penny. And I'll read the message you posted just as a reminder. Penny was passionate about education, having been a teacher her whole life. To celebrate her, I led a project to put up-to-date computers in all the Tibetan children's villages in India. So far, we put more than 70 computers in place, moving steadily towards our goal of several hundred by the end of 2025. I was honored to see the computers in action. The smiles on the kids' faces were magical. And listeners, go to our Facebook page, check them out. It's beautiful. You want to talk a little bit about that?
It is magical.
Yeah.
So first of all, the Indian Department of Education requires to get kids get a certain amount of minimal computer education. And minimal means minimal. Hmm. And I had before this, when I was in the Tibetan children's villages, where there are a lot of kids who previously would live in poverty, a whole bunch of things, looked at their computers and I said, you know, they're not very many, and they break down all the time, and they're basically MS-DOS run computers.
Wow.
Do you remember MS-DOS?
Way back,
the C prompt computers. And so I led a project. We raised a whole bunch of money, which we continue to raise. And so I went there to visit the project, and then the kids showed me around.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew I was coming, and they showed me around. So some of the kids are like third graders, fourth graders, sixth graders, 11th graders, 12th graders, and they all showed me around where they lived, and they showed me the computers that we had set up, and they were just smiling because mm-hmm. they were so happy. And the computers allowed them in the evening then to use computers to look at different sites. Social media is blocked, but they can go to the Khan Academy and other things. And these computers will change their lives.
Hmm.
You cannot be modern. You can't get a good job in the world today unless you are computer savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very proud for the fact that a lot of kids now are computer savvy. And I did this really in memory of Penny, who was lifetime educator, and she would be very happy. And then they had a service called the Puja, which I didn't realize they were going to have in an auditorium. And there were like 300 high school kids doing prayers, and I'm in the front, and there are 100 butter lamps being lit. And I did another one, and I'm sitting under a great big picture that they had blown up of her. Let me tell you something. I almost lost it. It was just like so moving, and it was so humbling. We don't realize the abundance that we live in
mm-hmm.
until we go to an area of the world where they do not have the abundance that we really take for granted. Mm-hmm. And it was very humbling and wonderful. And I wanted to share that on my Facebook page. So
yeah, the pictures are beautiful. And our listeners were moved as well. And I'll just read some of the comments. Catherine in Albany, Wisconsin wrote, "These are beautiful pictures of beautiful children. What a wonderful thing you are doing and forever keeping Penny's memories and dream alive."
Nice.
Susan
nice.
Wrote, "Zorba, you are a class act with a heart so big. Thank you for honoring Penny in this way." And Charles in Waupun, Wisconsin says, "This gives me goosebumps." Finally, Shirley wrote, "What a beautiful way to honor Penny's life and memory. I'm so happy I was able to meet her on a trip you led. The ripples will continue to spread with the children in Tibet from your good works."
Oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wonderful.
That's heartfelt. Just a sampling. There was a lot of great comments heartfelt. From our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you guys for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Yep. And you can always keep up with Zorba's busy and fruitful life on our Facebook page. And of course, if you have a question for the good doc, just post it there or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. More of your calls to come, more of your emails, and we'll be putting together a tasty recipe for marinating winter squash with
delicious.
Sage. With sage. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. I'm sitting right across the desk from Zorba Pastor.
You are.
He's right
That's
there.
Right.
This is Zorba
That's
Pastor
right.
on Your Health.
You got
and
it.
If you have a healthy living question, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. But before you get back to those phones, Zorba, let's do a recipe. This is marinated winter squash with sage.
That's right. Now, winter squash is because squash often really stays nice and healthy in the wintertime.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And traditionally, squashes can last, if you put them like in a cool basement or something like that, for a long, long period of time.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's the idea behind this. And it's good to have something really fresh that you can cook in the wintertime that makes you feel kind of good and warm.
I love
mean,
squash.
Summertime is good. So did your mom cook squash when you were
she
a kid?
She would, yeah, with like brown sugar and butter. And,
yeah, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't introduced into squash until I was in college.
Really?
And we didn't have squash.
No squash
we
in
had
your
corn.
Childhood.
We had corn. No, we had canned corn. We had canned beans. We had canned peas. Yuck, I hate canned peas.
Yeah.
And they were just starting frozen foods. I'd never seen squash.
Hmm.
I mean, here it is. I grew up in Chicago. I never had squash at any of my cousin's house, my aunt's houses. It did not exist.
That's
isn't
crazy.
That,
wow.
isn't that
That's
funny
wild.
The way food was in the 50s?
Yeah.
And of course, the other thing was 60% of my relatives smoked. So not only did we not have squash, but I was surrounded.
That's why you're so smart. All that perfect, all those ingredients came together and made you a wonderful doctor.
There we go. There we go. So that's it. Moving on. Marinated winter squash with sage. Start out with 1 1/4 cups of apple cider vinegar.
1 1/4 cup apple cider vinegar.
Yeah. And all vinegars really do a different taste.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have different kinds of vinegars on your shelf?
Yeah. We got apple cider vinegar. Maybe
a white vinegar.
Sure.
They really do have different tastes. And there's some really good upscale vinegars. Moving on, a tablespoon of sugar.
1 big tea sugar.
1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. You might use a little more later on.
All right, 1/2 tea of kosher salt.
6 garlic cloves peeled and thinly sliced.
6 garlic cloves.
2 tablespoonfuls of extra virgin olive oil.
2 big tea extra virgin olive oil.
Okay, now we're going to do 3 kinds of squashes, and you don't have to. You
three
could use
squashes?
1 squash. Right, but 3 kinds are going to give you different textures. So we're going to do a delicata, acorn, and honey nut squash. If you can. But if you can't, use a couple. And 1 of each. So 3 squashes. You want a total of 3 pounds of squash. 1 kind or 3 different kinds. I'd recommend 3 different kinds. Looks better, tastes better.
Sure. Give it a big mix of squash. About 3 pounds total of squash.
Some veggie oil you're going to use.
All right. Vegetable oil.
Some sage leaves. You got to buy them at the store. They've got to be fresh. Dried sage will not make it as good. You could do that in a pinch. It's not going to taste as good. And then quarter cup of toasted almond slices.
All right, a quarter cup of toasted sliced almonds. Okay, let's make this.
Let's make it. So step number one, mix the vinegar, sugar, salt together in a little saucepan. Simmer so that it basically gets reduced by half. Then add the garlic slices, let it in there, add the olive oil, and then slice all of the squash lengthwise in half. Scrape out the seeds because you don't need them. Peel it off. And what you're going to do is you're going to have basically half inch, third inch to half inch rounds. Now, pour a thin layer of vegetable oil separately in a large skillet. Put it on medium heat. Add the sage leaves to them until they crisp up a bit. Remove the sage leaves to a paper towel so they basically are going to sort of dry out. And then what you want to do is start to fry the squash, flipping it over on each side for about 2 to 3 minutes until basically these nice thin slices are cooked through and crisp. And you do that with each of the slices. And then you want to basically put all of the squash on top, scatter the sage leaves on top of that, stir up the marinade you just made and drizzle a few spoonfuls over the squash, put the garlic slices on top, and then let this sit at room temperature. You're really good. You can let it sit at room temperature till it's all done, and then you sprinkle the almond slices on top, and you've got something that's really, really tasty. Now, if you want to warm it up, put it in the oven for about 10 minutes to warm it up. If it's in a microsafe dish, you can put it in the microwave, but you can have this at room temperature or warmed up. And if you found this recipe too complex to follow, I certainly would
There's
if I were
there.
In my
yeah.
car.
Yeah.
Go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. Or, of course, through Facebook.
Back to the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome a caller now from the state of Utah. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Zorba. I just had a quick question. I have experienced restless leg syndrome, and it seems to be getting worse the older I get. But I find that I just experience a lot of restless leg at night. Maybe I'm overly tired, but I also experience that happening when I take like a red eye flight. It gets to be really bad if I can't lay down. I just had that question for you.
When did you first notice you had restless leg syndrome?
I would say probably about 20 years ago. And it just keeps getting worse.
It does. Have you ever been on any medication for it at all?
No, I didn't know there was medication for it.
There is. There's some good medication for it. So there are a couple of different things you can do. Certainly, it's really bothersome. You're trying to get sleep. I mean, you know, anyone can imagine you're trying to get sleep, and then your legs are going, I don't want to get sleep, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, a red eye will definitely make it worse because you're tired in a plane. You know, I mean, who can stretch out on an airplane unless you happen to be in one of those first class iPods, you know, and you're on an international flight,
yeah.
Sleeping pods, or if you're taking a personal aircraft, that would be nice. Wouldn't
sure.
that be nice if you had your jet?
Yeah, just do that from now on.
Yeah, that's right. That's the answer. there are a series of drugs. So I would recommend there's a drug called Requip, R-E-Q-U-I-P. That's a name brand for one of the drugs. I believe it's a generic right now. But these are drugs that are actually used for Parkinson's syndrome. And this is a good example. It's an anti-Parkinsonian drug, Requip. A very small dose could make a difference. You don't have to take it every night. Some people take it every night. Some people take it because periodically their restless legs get worse, or they know, gee, I'm going to be going on a vacation. I know it's going to bother me. They may take it for a week or two. But these are drugs that are used for Parkinsonism that work really well for restless leg. And if that doesn't work, there's another drug which also can work well, and these are anti-seizure drugs such as Lyrica or gabapentin, and they can also work well for restless legs. But the Requip drug, generic, and ones that are like that are associated with that, and they've been proven in good scientific studies. That's what I would recommend.
Oh, thank you so much. So just a quick question.
Sure.
Does that mean that I'm like a precursor to Parkinson's?
Not at all. Nothing, not at all. Okay. You're actually using it. It's kind of interesting. It's a side effect of the drug. It doesn't mean you're developing that. And that is a very good question. Because, for instance, I'll give an example. Beta blockers are a group of drugs that we use. Turns out they work for migraines. They work for people with certain thyroid problems. They work for stage fright. They work for preventing a second heart attack. But they were initially developed as a blood pressure pill. And once they got out, we found it had lots of other uses for it. And this is a good example. This was Parkinsonian drug, and then they found out that worked really well for it. So, no, the answer is this has nothing to do with the Parkinson's disease. It's just another, really, it's just another indication of a use for this drug. So try that out. Call your doc. Say you want to try it out.
And can I jump in?
Okay,
I
know. Thanks so much.
I don't do this very often, caller. And Zorba, I don't. You know this. Yeah. I'm not the doctor at all. But this one,
really, you're not a doctor?
I'm not. Not
oh,
at all.
I thought you were.
Could I just claim I am for 1 minute here?
For years, I thought you were the doctor, and I was the other guy.
I don't want to step on any toes here with this, you know, restless legs question. But I've had restless legs for years, so I thought I'd chime in.
Yeah.
And something that helped me out, and this was a suggestion from my mother-in-law.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Stretch your legs every night before you go to bed. And I've been doing that for about a year now.
And
the RLS has gotten way better.
Really?
I just take one of those stretchy, you know, those stretchy exercise bands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just lay down before I go to bed and I stretch my hamstrings. I stretch my calves.
Oh,
and
you
just
put it on your foot.
Yeah.
And you're straining it out with the band.
I do like 4 or 5 minutes total every night of just stretching my legs. And it has helped 80%. It's 80% better than it used to be. So,
oh, that is great.
Yeah, it's. I couldn't believe it actually
worked. Oh, it's wonderful.
So call
that is great.
If you want to try
that. So you know what? You should try that actually before you try the drug. You should try this and get one of those stretchy bands which you can get on the web. That is a great idea.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
It's helped me sleep
so
much better.
Yeah. I appreciate all of those modalities, and I'm definitely going to try that.
Sounds great. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing that, and good luck, and let us know what happens.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care now.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's open up the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox and take a listener email. The following question came from Alina from Knoxville, Tennessee, who writes, "Greetings, Dr. Zorba and Carl. My husband and I love listening to your show every week.
Nice.
The Grammar Police segments are our favorites by far."
Yes.
I was
they'd be
that's
happy.
Always nice.
They would be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole crew, the whole
Grammar Police
crew,
they're happy.
They're smiling right now.
I love
that's
it.
That's right.
She goes on, "I was hoping to get your opinion on liquid IV packets as a hydration aid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to further cut back my caffeine and diet soda intake, and I consume about 2 liters of water a day. Also important to note, I'm a type 2 diabetic. What are your thoughts? Thanks so much for all that you do."
Well, most of these, and I'm not familiar exactly with that particular name brand, but they basically are potassium with a little bit of sodium, but they really are potassium replacements.
It's like those powder packets, hydration packets.
Yeah. And by the way, that saved when this was first invented, which is the guy who invented it and did some research. We're talking about recently died. I read his obituary in the New York Times. He actually initially came from Marquette and was used for rehydration for children who are suffering from life-threatening diarrhea in places across Africa.
Mm.
And it's estimated to have sent literally tens of millions of lives for children who develop cholera and others. You just give this liquid. You basically are giving sodium and potassium with a little bit of sugar to basically push that into your body. Some have sugar. Some do not have sugar. Those packets are great.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful. And some of them have vitamins in there that I think are useful. And there are a few ways that they work. First of all, getting some extra potassium is always good for your body. It's really, you know, if we look at veggies, they have lots of potassium. We look at fruit, and often more potassium is really good versus less potassium. The other issue is it keeps you away from sugary drinks that are bad for you.
Sure.
So in other words, you're then, and it's a little bit more than just water and hydration. So my answer is yes, and some people really feel good with that, especially after they exercise and they sweat. Your potassium, you're replacing the electrolytes that your body has basically released during the time that you're exercising.
Have a healthy living question for the good doc? Just post it on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Before we take a break, Zorba, we love getting voicemails from folks who want to share a comment or a health tip with us. So it's time again for caller comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. people calling us with their health tips.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Such a sweet song. I mean, really.
Thank you.
Really, it's a sweet song.
A lot of complex triangle work on that one.
Yeah, triangle.
We flew in the best triangle player we could find.
In the world.
In the world. In Dane County.
That's right.
All right, Zorba, the following voicemail. This is a fun one. This is a good one for me. The following voicemail came from a listener right here in Wisconsin.
The new host is great, and he's good. And sorry to say, I haven't yet remembered his name. But only the great, unparalleled Tom Clark could ever be anything close to appeared the great Dr. Zorba. And every time the host uses the word "all right," it inevitably seems almost condescending. You know, it's certainly and I just now hear again at the very start of the show. So it seems like it's just kind of a, like the word you know, or something, or, but it's perhaps not the best for most circumstances. It gives the sense that, all right, everybody, let's, you know, we're impatient, maybe at the end of the program or something in rare circumstances, but throughout it gives more of a sense of, semi-urgency, perhaps, or certainly impatience, and hey, we're all relaxed on a weekend with the world's finest public radio and the world's finest doctor and the world's next best host. So thanks for taking my comment. You guys are great. Thanks again.
What do you think, Zorba? I like constructive criticism.
Well, first of all, it's very interesting. So there's a book that I read about 2 years ago called Like Literally Dude, The Good Reason for Bad English.
Ah.
And it talks about pauses that occur and that are universal in language. So in our language, we often use the and the hum. And basically, those are pauses where we're saying we're still the ones with the mic. Mm-hmm. And means it's a short pause, and means a longer pause. And it turns out every single language, my son Eli speaks Chinese, French, and Spanish, and they all have different sounds that they use for them.
Oh.
It also, notice I just said
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a pause. And I usually, sometimes I'll have a blank pause, but we all do that. The other issue is people take it in different ways. So I don't find all right condescending at all.
Okay, good.
But you could say all right in a condescending way. So you can say all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is a different sound than all right. You know, so part of this is the tenor and the import of the
inflection,
person that is talking to.
Right.
And, you know, when you're talking to your kids, you know, do you ever say, all right, let's get going?
Oh, sure. All the time. Yeah.
So it's not condescending. You're giving them a sense of attention, right? Hey,
yeah.
Hey guys, buckle up.
Right. A sense of urgency.
We're leaving the house.
Yeah.
Everyone go to the washroom before we leave.
Get your shoes on.
All right. Yeah, your shoes on. Because you're not going to say the other word that starts with it. It sounds with SH instead of shoes. So the reality is, we're still going to continue doing it because we do it in a collegial way. But I appreciate the comment.
I do too. Do you have a tip? Helpful tip or comment for the show? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. There's much more of the show to come. We have more of your calls. We'll tackle another interesting healthy living topic and more of your emails as well. So keep it right here on
Zorba Pastor on your health.
All right. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And he's right across the desk from me. He's right there. He's wearing his, those are some new nice glasses. Those are rose tinted frames.
Yeah, well, that's the way
They're
I see
beautiful.
Life, through rose colored glasses.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
That
what I've been
sense.
Doing for years. It helps, and it hinders sometimes.
Usually
right?
helps. If you have a healthy living question, the number to call is 800-462-6600. 7413. But before we get back to our call, Zorba, healthy living topic here. I'm just going to read this headline. This is new information from the BMJ. Certain foods may disrupt your body's fight against cancer cells.
I mean, this is the big question. And the big question also comes from ultra-processed foods, you know, things that we see that are, you know, all these ingredients. And I'll give a perfect example. A year and a quarter ago, we had a little Debbie that we took out of the
little
package.
Snack
She's right
cake.
Here.
Yep.
I want you here.
Yep.
Okay.
Hard as a rock.
Hard as a rock. But I can still smell the inside. Can you too?
Still smells sugary sweet.
So it still smells sugary sweet. It has been sitting here in the air.
Over a year.
For a year and a quarter.
Out of the package.
And if you can smell it, that means the gases in there are going into the air, and that's how we can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's continued. Now, if you take anything that is fresh produce, come on, year and a half from now, you know, I mean, you know what it would sound, what it would smell like,
yeah,
right away.
Yeah.
So the real issue is ultra-processed foods tend to have more omega-6 fatty acids. So these are different than omega-3 fatty acids that are good for us. And the omega-6s are actually available in seed oil, like cottonseed oil. So if you go and you get vegetable oil in the store, okay, and it says vegetable oil, it has a variety of oils, including oil from cottonseed. And the question is, are these seed oils, which are filled with omega-6 fatty acids, now actually not good for us? And ultra-processed foods, at this time, the figure may make up 70% of the U.S. food supply.
That's staggering.
That's a staggering comment from there. And basically, if we look at omega-6 fatty acids, they're in corn, they're in peanut, they're in soybean, they're in safflower, they're in sunflower oils, and they're in cottonseed oils. So the question is, are we getting too much of these oils? And are these oils then leading us to more cancer because it disrupts the body's ability to fight cancer cells? And this BMJ article really kind of called that into question. So I read the article. I think it may be a bit of an overreach and say, we got to get rid of all of these oils. But I think if you read the subtext about ultra-processed foods, that's the real question.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go to the grocery store. You go around the outside of the grocery store. There are the fruits and the vegetables, and you've got dairy on one side. But you look at the inside of the grocery store. Often those foods, prepackaged foods, have lots of stuff in them to keep them basically, quote, you know, stable for us and easy for us to eat. But the question is that leading us to more heart disease, cancer, stroke? That's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to answer that as a society. Because frankly, it's much easier. When I was a kid, there were Swanson TV dinners.
Oh, sure. The Swanson truck would come around.
The Swanson. No, yeah, that's right. And there were TV dinners. You'd put them in. I'd put them in the oven. But it was a treat. It was a treat because my mother worked at Weibolt's department store, the store for the working woman, on Thursday night. And so I got to have a Swanson TV dinner, but the rest of our food was all made. She would make it basically from scratch. Now, probably for many families, maybe once a week the food is made from scratch, and 6 nights of the week the food is really from ultra-processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, read the labels. If it's got 30 or 40 ingredients, you're eating the wrong stuff. You know, there's a guy, Michael Pollan, who said 5 ingredients more than that means that it's processed too much. I don't know if I actually stick to that strictly. But I think we have to learn to eat more regular food using our homemade ingredients, and that's what this study is showing.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phones now. Let's try to help out a caller in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. I have a long-time listener, Dr. Zorba, and I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, sure.
A little background. One morning back in September, I was wakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by what sounded like a lawnmower running in my bedroom.
Wow.
I got a hold of my primary care physician, and he thought I was having a stroke or an aneurysm, and he told me to get to an emergency room
right away. Sure.
So the problem wasn't a stroke or an aneurysm. It was tinnitus.
Oh. But all of a sudden, it woke you up in the middle of the night. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And since then, I've been seen by an ENT doctor, and I'm currently seeing an audiologist on a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis. What are they doing? So they ruled out something called Meniere's disease, which can happen suddenly. They decided it wasn't that. That's something that can happen. So you're seeing an audiologist, and what are they doing?
I still have constant noise.
Mm-hmm.
But from my doctor. I have a prescription for sleeping pills, which does make it possible for me to get some sleep because it never stops.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And I have hearing. She's made hearing devices to mask.
To mask. Good. How are they going? I've heard about these. Are they helping?
We'll see. The audiologist, and she just did it yesterday. The audiologist put an app on my phone.
Okay.
So I can increase or decrease the masking. And so far, I haven't had enough time to see how it's going to help.
Well, it takes a while before your brain actually will know what to do. It's not going to happen overnight.
It's exactly what she said. She said, we have to retrain your brain, and it takes a long time.
Takes 3 months. So that's all it's going to take. Well, 3 months is better than not, right?
Oh, yeah.
If they work. But 3 months, it's going to work on and off. That's how it is. Now, it's interesting. I have tinnitus. Not like you have. I've had tinnitus for many, many years, long time ago.
I've heard you say it on the show.
I've had it, and I first noticed it after Jordy Lewis popped a pop gun in my ear, but I didn't know what it was.
Oh.
I thought basically that I could hear the wiring. Get this. This is like a 12-year-old brain. I thought I could hear the wiring of alarms when I walked into certain stores. I thought there's a little buzzing up there. But it never bothered me much. And when I got older, it bothered me. When I think about it, it becomes louder. So right now, it's much louder. When I don't think about it, it doesn't become louder. So I have a minimal amount compared to you. But you've got to retrain your brain to pay attention to other sounds and not to pay attention to the tinnitus. And these devices, for a lot of people, work well, but you have to work with the device. It's like kind of like playing a musical instrument in some way. I guess that's the best way to explain it. But wow, you woke
your phone, and she's been excellent, really, really trying to help me. And she, oddly enough, has tinnitus too.
Oh, it's common. Tinnitus is really common. It turns out it's really common to many of us. You know, it's minimal. At one point, I thought I was going to go to cognitive behavioral therapy. I wrote my primary care physician, who then wrote a referral. And then I realized for me, because I can deal with it, I didn't really need that. And for me, it changes. In the summertime, it sounds like crickets. And when they have the window open, I can't tell if it's crickets or my tinnitus. And in the wintertime, like right now when I hear about it, it's a totally different pitch. But mine is not as intrusive. There are about 5 to 10% of the people who have very intrusive tinnitus, and you're in that realm. These devices help. Stick with it. It's not going to happen right away. Keep it up. It's like playing a musical instrument inside your head.
Oh, it's like, it sounds like, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll get through this. This really will make a difference.
Oh, thank you very much for your help. And I do think I have an audiologist who, I have empathy for you because every once in a while she gets to the point where she has a migraine. So she gets it.
Isn't that what, she gets it. That's really good. She relates to it and then you relate to her because it's been there, done that.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Keep up with it.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Take care. Thanks for sharing that with us.
You have a good day now.
You too.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413.
We will have a lot of people. There are a lot of people who do listen to the show who have tinnitus. And if you have any thoughts on what you've done for your tinnitus, write me at zorbapastor.org and let me know what your thoughts are. And we'll talk about that on one of the next shows.
It's a great idea. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You can leave us a voicemail anytime you'd like with your healthy living question for Dr. Zorba. Let's go to one of those voicemails now. Let's try to help out a caller in Atlanta, Georgia.
My question is with vaping. Like, for instance, pneumonia is fluid on the lungs. Wouldn't that be considered just inhaling or putting pneumonia on there because you're looking at the chemicals in vape? Vape is a moisture, and you're inhaling it. And along with the chemicals in it, that would make it stick to the lungs. Wouldn't that cause a pneumonia?
First of all, that's a great question. We know, for instance, that if you vape cannabis, that increases the risk of pneumonia. And it's been shown in a variety of studies that cannabis that's basically in the vaping, because they use a vitamin E oil, that's the theory, that goes to an incredibly hot temperature and then has problems with the lungs. And it's different than inhaling cannabis that you burn in a pipe. It's a much greater temperature, the cannabis that comes from there. Now, when it comes to vaping, yeah, the stuff that's in there. You know, who knows what the manufacturers put in there? And there's no regulation that's really in it. Now, on the other hand, vaping does help some people quit smoking. And we know smoking cigarettes actually is probably a worse risk factor for you than vaping. And when I tell people, if you're going to use vaping to quit smoking, and then you're going to try to get off of vaping, that you go to a name brand manufacturer that's manufactured in the U.S. But once again, these things are very poorly regulated. The FDA does a bad job of it. You know, and that's a whole other issue that's involved. But you're right. Pneumonia is not exactly just fluid on the lungs. But basically, yes, you can get an increased risk of pneumonia from vaping, just like you can from smoking cigarettes. The best thing in your lungs is clean, fresh, unadulterated air. And there's nothing better than that.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, before we punch out today, we love when our listeners contribute their healthy living tips to the show. The following email came from a listener way up in the tundra of Alaska.
I just got a pair of hearing aids, and the hearing person looked in my ears, and I had earwax in my right ear. Not a lot, but some. He told me to combine a cup of water with a tablespoon of white distilled vinegar. Heat it up, squirt it into my ear, let it sit for a while, drain it out. Do that maybe a few times. I did it. I had to wait 2 weeks before I got my hearing aid. I went back in after 2 weeks. I think I'd only done that four times. My earwax had disappeared. It's a cheap at-home remedy that worked really well. Of course, you heat up the water before you put it in, and you squirt it in with a squeezer that you use to clean out babies' noses. So thank you very much for your program. That's all I have. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good point. And that would work. That would help dissolve the wax in your ears.
Mm-hmm.
If the water is too warm, you might get dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out water that's too warm or too cold can make you dizzy because it affects basically the part of the ear that uses for that. So warm water, but not too warm, it's a great idea. And basically, yeah, that's a good home remedy. Cheap, inexpensive, and it works well. And the baby bulb syringes are okay to use within the ear. In other words, that's the amount of pressure that you want to do. You don't want to take a syringe itself.
Right. And I went to an audiologist mm-hmm. once and, you know, got my ears cleaned. And yeah. she told me kind of this horror story mm-hmm. about someone using the home remedy kit mm-hmm. for cleaning the earwax mm-hmm. with the little baby syringe mm-hmm. bulb. She said, if you're ever going to do it, mm-hmm. make sure you don't squeeze too hard because
right.
it can rupture
right.
or damage
right.
the eardrum.
Yeah. Right.
And so
right.
if you're going to use
yeah.
it,
you want to use that in a very gentle way. I think that makes a lot of sense. Good point. Easy. I wonder. It's a great folk remedy. That's perfect.
We love getting listener tips.
Absolutely.
Do you have a tip to share? Just leave us a voicemail or you could just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And you can call us anytime.
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 Leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen.
Da-da-da.
And our technical director is Brad Colbert.
Da-da-da.
Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran.
Da-da-da.
For Zorba Pastor.
Enough of that.
I thought that would be a jazzier one for the Sidrans. But for Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.